This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview.
Montana-born Ashley Jane Holland, also known as Little Jane and the Pistol Whips, formed her country Americana band in 2008. They have released three albums, the most recent titled Long Road Ahead. Ashley joins us for this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about her life outside of music, as well as her musical journey and her latest album. Ashley, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you, Greg, for having me. I appreciate being on here.
Yeah, glad that we could make the connection here this afternoon and talk to you about your music and ultimately the new record that you guys have coming out. You are in Montana, right?
I am in Montana. I'm based out of Montana, born and raised, and we're becoming fewer and farther between us that are from there because it's such a beautiful place. Everybody wants to be there, which I understand completely. So try to find what we call a local.
A lot of migrants, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, a lot of people get uppity about it, but I realize, well, there's a reason why they want to be there. It's beautiful, you know?
What's the metropolis there? What's the music city in Montana? Is there one?
You know, I'd say actually Southwest Montana, which is sort of around Bozeman, Montana. A lot of people from the state end up having to travel there for shows because they say they pay better. And so what we have going in that area is we have, in just a 100-mile radius, you have Big Sky Ski Resort, which is, you know, brings people both summer and winter. Mm-hmm. And then you have Yellowstone National Park near Livingston, which that's on the way there. It's called Paradise Valley. So there's a number of wedding venues and just big venues. And then just the draw of Montana in general. People want to be married there. They want to have their parties there. And so we get a lot of work of private events, which is pretty cool.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but the question's coming to mind. Do you and your music and the band get out of the state much, or are you mostly kind of a Montana group, or do you do some travel?
You know, I have been spending my winters down in Arizona, which, you know, we just traveled to Arizona just recently. So I am actually speaking, I'm from Montana, but speaking from you to you from Arizona right now.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't play out much here, and so it's just that difficulty of breaking into a new scene. I mean, I call venues and try and stop by and think maybe if I show up at their doorstep and introduce myself, it'll help. And it's just hard to break into a new market.
Yeah,
and so I haven't Haven't really played down here. We have done small tours. It's been a number of years, but going to Washington State and Colorado and everything. But, you know, a lot of the guys in the band are, we all have day jobs, and then mm-hmm. a lot of them have small children. So it's just traveling is not, you know, that easy for everybody.
Yeah, of course. Sure. So what's the day gig for you? What do you occupy your time with in the middle of the week?
You know, I just graduated in December with my master's degree in social work from Boise State online program. Mm-hmm. And so I am working as a therapist. So I do mental health and substance use counseling out of Montana, and okay. I work for an agency there. So I'm trying to get my full license for mental health and then substance use. And, you know, music is a therapeutic tool. I mean, it helps so much.
Well, and social work is such a tough job anyway, but in times that we are in the moment, it makes that, I'm sure that's a very challenging and probably rewarding, or you wouldn't be doing it, but it's not an easy job.
No, you have to set your feelings aside, for sure.
I'm sure you
practice
do.
Practice that at detachment.
So, back to the music. You, if I read correctly, got started with the piano, is that right?
Yep, Suzuki piano as, you know, 5 to 10 year old. And that was great because the Suzuki method is all by ear. And so I do think that that really helped from a young age, just train my ear to find what's in tune, what's out of tune, you know, what sounds right and, you know, quote, mm-hmm. wrong, you know, mm-hmm. dissonant. And so then in middle school, it was violin when we got to pick your instrument. And, you know, some schools in Montana are so small, I don't know how it is where you're from, but where band is the only option, so wind instruments. Mm. And so we were lucky enough to have the option of orchestra and band, and so I played the violin. Now, I wish I would have played the stand-up bass, because I'd have a job in every band, not even just my own. I could be a side player, but... So then that transitioned into guitar just to be able to back myself up singing and writing in my late 20s.
When did the violin become the fiddle for you?
Oh, when I got out of school. Because that's like in school, you're doing classical. It's notes on the page, and you're in a symphony. I don't know what it's called in school. It's not, you know, as fancy as a symphony, but... so then I was never good at jamming, and I call the violin my insecure instrument because I feel no good at it at all. But I do love it, and I wish I could play it better. It's a hard instrument with no frets.
True. Yeah, I don't know how people get the sound out of that they do. It's amazing to watch good violinists and good fiddle players, because even though it's the same instrument, it's played differently, and it's a very pretty, pretty sound. I love that, and the way that contributes to the music. Was there a moment that you that you knew that the kind of music that you play, that this was something that you could do and that it could take you somewhere? In some capacity as a professional musician?
Well, gosh, I mean, I think my first show out was when I lived in Washington State for a short minute doing the student exchange program from mm-hmm. Montana State in Western Washington. Mm. And I wrote a song called, the first one ever, called Go to the Bottle. And I got to play out at I think it was called the Green Frog, and a venue, and they put my name up on the sign, and that was the first taste of like, oh, this looks cool. I love my name up on a marquee. And then I don't think I think if I had to say, my heart's always been in the right place with music. It's never been to be famous or get rich. It's more just to get it out there and for my benefit, which sounds selfish, but it's like therapeutically to write these songs, to hear them come to life. It's just, you know, it does something for me. And then I hear from other people, they relate to it and it helps them too. So if that led to something bigger, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. But right now it's just more for, you know, I am trying, right? I'm talking to you, and I have my friend Adele helping me.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not, not the biggest goal is to become famous. It's just get it out to a larger audience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what you said earlier, I think, is critical, is that you do it for yourself first. And whatever the motivation of that is, I think, is different for every artist. But it has to be because you believe that there's something inside that needs to come out, and you choose to do that through music, which is awesome. So
exactly.
I think that if you're doing it for any other reason, I don't think it'll be authentic.
Yeah, good call. And I think people can sniff out inauthenticity pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Just turn on the radio sometimes. You don't have to listen very long.
Yeah, that's true.
Where did Little Jane and the Pistol Whips come from? When did that happen?
That was around 2008. And I thought of that band name because Jane is my middle name, and also my dear grandmother, who I love so much. She's 93. Her middle name is also Jane.
Okay.
And I'm tall, so, you know, I joke that vertically challenged Jane or large Jane or big Jane doesn't sound as good as little Jane. Pistol Whips. And then Pistol Whips is just that, you know, that, like, growing up in Montana, you kind of love that Wild West sense of, you know, Wyatt Earp and Tombstone and, you know, all the Deadwood. And so in the old days, you know, if someone got out of line, they'd just, you know, get them back in line with a conk on the head. It was never intended to be like a violent, you know, endorsing anything like that, but just more of a nod to the Old West.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's cool. Is that your, is that mostly how you play out, or do you go out as yourself, as Ashley Jane, and do solo gigs? Or is it always Little Jane and the Pistol Whips?
You know, I do a lot of solo stuff and duos and stuff and gigs like that. And I just, you know, sometimes I do use Ashley Holland or Ashley Jane. But I think it's Little Jane is sort of in our area what I've built the name around. So I do try to include that in some capacity just so people know who it is. I need to do a better job of connecting the two, probably. But something I could work on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just, it, the name is catchy. It's just, but I know sometimes you a lot of artists can't always go out as a full band, you know, whether it's financial reasons or there's, you know, there's room on, not enough room for everybody, or there's not enough room in the however that works. Right. And so, but in order to keep playing, I just was just curious as if that was if you also used your name as part of the, reach for your music.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And I hopefully, you know, and I'm trying to do a really good job of saying we and our, and, you know, even though it's, you know, it's a group collaboration, even though, you know, I wrote the songs, I paid for the recordings, and the everything that comes out is, you know, something that I try to fund. I do try to not say me, 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 my.
Right.
Because it is a collaboration, and I wouldn't have gotten anywhere near as where we have locally without my bandmates who have been with me for a very long and are like family, you know.
Is it predominantly your original music, or are the songs collaborative as well?
It is just my original music. I mean, they're collaborative in the sense that I don't write the solos, and we have just such a very talented, naturally talented group of people, you know, in Southwest Montana that are from all over the country that have landed there. And, you know, one of my friends, I asked asked if I should write parts and how that works. And he just said, you just hire people you respect and admire and let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's collaborative in that sense that,
sure,
you know, any of the solos, maybe minus one, it's their original parts, you know, but the songs were written you know, as they were and arranged prior to entering the studio by me.
Do you have a process, an inspiration of some format that you use when you write? Do you have a pattern? How does that work for you when you get to be creative with your songwriting?
You know, I guess two things. I only write, it seems, when I'm feeling something, whether it's, you know, inspired by a story I've heard or sad or happy or have an experience. So I've heard, and I should do this, where people write daily, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. I just write when I feel like it, which is maybe why it took me 13 years to put out another album. And then when I do write, I just sit down and I have the guitar in hand and I write a whole song at one time. So it's done.
So you're not collecting. You're not collecting, and then when you think you have enough, you sit down. It's you're more intentional about the project.
Yeah, it's just like it's almost like a like if I was like a channeler or a intuitive or a tarot card reader, it's like something just comes out of me and it's a song and it's done.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
It is cool. Yeah, and in this record in particular, I never have gone back and revised songs. Like when they're done, they're done. And because of COVID and some timelines, I sat with them a little bit longer and I added a couple extra parts, like a pre-chorus or a stanza at the end or things that I normally wouldn't have done. And I'm glad I did. And I was forced into that extra time because mm-hmm. even bandmates were like, oh, that song needed that. Mm. That was cool.
Yeah.
That's unexpected. Or so I'm glad it feels like a more mature recording, this one, because I wasn't just like, this is the way I do it. I'm not going to do it any other way.
Right.
It's done. Yeah. I was open to extras or new directions or feelings.
And this one is Long Road Ahead. Is that right? Is that the name of the album?
It is. Yep. Long Road Ahead. Which is the second song. Sorry.
And it's out, correct? Currently?
It's out. Came out September 16th of this year, which was 1 year to the day that we went in the studio to record it, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And you, how's it being received? You're getting some good feedback?
Yeah, great feedback. It's been really fun because, I did write a bunch of songs inspired. I'm married to a person who does line work, so he works on high voltage power lines, and he's a union lineman. So I was, when I met him, I was exposed to this whole nother world of blue collar workers. My dad was a journeyman plumber his whole life for 38 years and a union person. But, with this, it's a little more like rah, 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 union. And also line work is dangerous. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a lot of songs about the trades and linemen. And it's been really cool because I got to be on a lineman podcast called The Power Element out of California.
Oh, cool.
And they shared it. And then they sent me, they were so nice, they sent me like a really cool belt buckle that was like a lineman thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just been like, if I could write songs that inspire, a whole group of workers, whether it's union or non-union people that are out there working their butt off, whether it's in the oil fields or the mines or the line workers or, these guys that really get down and dirty, then that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Do you have I'm trying to find the right word. I think tour, we talked that might not be where you're at with your work schedule, but do you have some sort of structure on how you want to share this with your fan base? Do you do festivals? I know we're getting into late fall, winter now, but what's the idea of how you will get this out for your fan base and maybe the new folks to hear?
Gosh, man, good question. I'm so lucky to have connected with Adele Lassiter, who lived in Montana for a number of years. She went to Beaumont College, I guess, for music promotion. Mm-hmm. And she's been helping me apply to some festivals and just to get it out to places even like you. She's the one that reached out to you.
Right. I remember meeting her at IBMA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's so helpful and just kind and Southern, right? There's a sweetness to a Southern accent.
Right.
That
right.
helps.
Sure.
And so she's really helping me get it to these radio stations and places all over the country, which is so helpful. And to areas like Virginia or West Virginia or Alabama or places that might really gravitate towards this music. But she's applying for some festivals and, gosh, fingers crossed that we get into a couple. And, I mean, I just... I don't have a huge budget, so anything we're doing is just very organic. And, you know, I was given a book by my husband called The Union Locals Guide or something for these guys that travel for work.
Uh-huh.
And I just cold called union halls. They're like, local whatever out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can I have 30 seconds of your time? I'm not a robot, I promise. I'm just married to a journey lineman. And they'd laugh. And I'd say, can I send you a CD? You know,
there's
a lot of songs about your work on here. So I'm just trying anything I can to just get it out there in an organic way that, like we said, is authentic. And maybe people will gravitate towards.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those are great. That's a great idea. I think listening through some of your songs, you've got a really unique sound, it's a very Americana, but with hints of honky tonk and authentic style country in there. And I think you've got the right sound that would fit if you get it in front of the right people. So I definitely hope that you're able to do that for sure.
Thank you.
How do you like to communicate with your fans? What's the best way to reach out and get in touch with you? All that kind of stuff.
You know, I like to just communicate as much as I can. I want to make sure any message that I get is answered or a comment is responded to. I mean, that's how I feel loved or appreciated as a fan. When somebody responds to me, I'm like, wow, that is so cool. You know, so I really try to make a point to do that with every single person. And every CD I send out, everything is a handwritten note. I tie a bow around it. I put stickers in it. I just try, man. Yeah. I'm just trying to like show people that I care.
Yeah.
And I'm a real human being that,
right,
you know, has come to this through a life of, you know, growing up tough and, you know, just being a good person, smiling and handshakes and, you know, following through. So I have Instagram. It's Little Jane MT. I have Facebook, Little Jane and the Pistol Whips. I also have my own Ashley Holland Fry. And then, you know, the music is out there on all the streaming platforms now, like the Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes. Bandcamp is great. They give you, you know, the artists more percentage back, and you can even add a little if you want. And then, and then through our website. So there's hats, T-shirts, and then CDs up there too. And so, you know, the holiday season's coming up. I'd love to mail things out for people for gifts.
Yeah. And it's the website, littlejaneandthepistolwhips.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
And is it the ampersand or and?
It is and.
Okay.
And.
So littlejaneandthepistolwhips.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, you know how those web addresses go. Phone numbers, right? One off and you never know where you're landing.
It's like one number off. You might miss that call.
Yeah, which the people listening right now don't know the inside joke, but we missed our call by one number earlier today. So
405 instead of 406. But we made it happen.
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ashley. This has been great. I love your music, and I really, really hope that you get it in front of the right people and it catches wind. I think it's the right stuff.
So
yeah.
Well, your magazine and publication and readers and all of it is going to help. So I just know it. And thanks to everybody listening. And yeah, head to the site and get to know us a little bit. And, you know, love to get to know you. So
yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.